So last week I went hunting for a long barrow, and long barrows I always think of as quite impressive markers in the landscape, right? But this one wasn't. It was like a pimple in a field. But
You sure
it
it
was still
wasn't?
worth going, because you got a fantastic view across to the Pusey Vale and across over, and then the other direction over towards Oliver's Castle around there. It was great. But yeah, this long barrow was just a little hump in the middle of a farmer's field.
Yeah, what were they thinking?
I know. I'm sure it was bigger once, but I think too many ploughs over the years had eradicated it. But that, if anyone wants to go and see the pimple in the field, it's on Kingsplay Hill. So welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast, in which we explore some of the more hidden parts of Wiltshire. My name is Glyn Coy, and amongst other things that I do, I take photographs of these Wiltshire landscapes. And with me, I have my sidekick,
Paul Tinlett, who takes photographs of the landscape and animals and people and that sort of thing.
okay, so it's been 2 weeks, I think, since our last one. 2 weeks, isn't it? It's
Yeah,
almost 2 weeks.
it is. Well, it normally is, so there shouldn't be any surprises there.
So yeah, I mean, what have I been up to? I mean, I just mentioned in the start the trek around Kingsplay Hill, which the views up there are amazing. And the thing as well that I really liked about it was that it was there was a huge well a huge a, an absence of people, let's just say. When I was over there, I could look across and see over towards Oliver's Castle and Roundway over there, and the car park was full, and it was like Piccadilly Circus on the top. But on my little hill just opposite, it was just as dramatic, the scenery, because you've got hollows and combes and shapes and a steep hill down. But it was wonderful, really nice up there.
So where is that exactly? Because I hadn't heard of that until you mentioned it.
It's above Headington, the village of Headington,
Ah, that's it. Yeah.
which I didn't know there was much about Headington until someone pointed out that there's some kind of a international meditation centre there as well, and they've got this rather
That's right.
splendid building with golden, things on the top that shine in the sun. So
Yeah, it looks like a Buddhist temple.
yeah, so
Well,
not what you'd
it probably
it
is.
probably is.
It
Yeah, I
probably
mean,
is a Buddhist
it's
temple.
just not what you would expect in the middle of an old Wiltshire village, but it's there. But yeah, I went up there, and the reason why is because I'd walked across the hills opposite, so in the distance from Kingsplay Hill you can look across and see Furze Knoll and Morgan's Hill. So what I did is just go in the opposite direction and headed over, because I'd noticed on the map they had this long barrow, and I wanted to take a look at it. So yeah, it wasn't spectacular, but the views up there were worth looking at.
Yeah, it's a lovely part of the world around there. It's very quiet as well, isn't it? I used to, when I was a bit fitter, I used to cycle a lot through there.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of quite a sort of windy lane that goes through Headington, and I can't remember the name of the village. Heads off sort of towards Calne, I think. And I used to sort of go from there over to the A4 and then up over past Cherrell Monument and
Yeah.
towards sort of Marlborough that way. But yeah, that stretch through Headington, and the pub there is supposed to be great, although I've never actually been. So hopefully that will survive lockdown and
Yeah.
be open when we're all released.
So what have you been up to?
Well, as you know, I've done a couple of walks. so I think week before last, sorry, two last week. That's right. I'm losing track of time. We went and did the well. We went to see. Is it Dunscombe Bottom? I'm getting my bottoms mixed up now.
Dunscombe
The one
Bottom,
at
yeah.
Dunscombe, yeah, the one where you go and count
Yeah.
sheep. So we thought we'd go up there and check the sheep for you, and sure enough, there were 31. So that was all good. But we sort of from there we walked over towards Knook Castle, and with the intention of sort of carrying on over the hills to the south down to Upton Lovell and back to Heytesbury where we'd parked, and we had another sort of little unfortunate counter with diverted footpaths, and we came to a section of the footpath where it very clearly had been blocked and a fence had been put up. So I'm looking at my OS Maps app on my phone, and this is my walking buddy Stu, and we're looking at the map and we're looking at the terrain in front of us. Yep, he's definitely blocked the path here. So we climbed over the fence, ended up in this guy's back garden, basically, through a gate in his garden, over another fence, where a sort of bridleway cross in front of us, still in his garden. And the guy was in his garage cutting wood or something. And I don't know if he didn't see us or decided not to confront us. Because we were pretty angry about this sort of blocked path. And I was taking pictures and I thought, I'm going to report this. And we got out the other end. And I don't know, I think it was when I got home later on that for some reason I was looking at the permissive paths map on the Wiltshire Council website, and he's actually got the path diverted quite legally. So we were trespassing, we were in the wrong.
So you're clambering over his fence through his garden.
Yeah, crawling through his hedgerow in his garden. Through the flower beds.
Did he put any barbed wire up or anything, or was it?
Well, the first one was barbed wire, oh, so no. we climbed over that. But
I know what so you mean, because on that section, I've seen it on the map myself. I've seen that the Ordnance Survey on the app goes through the house, past the house, and through the garden. And I've always thought, I don't fancy doing that, so I'll stick on the MOD road and get shaken out by the army if I'm doing something.
That's right. Well, that was our quandary. We thought, well, God, we can go on the military road and get in trouble. Because they're doing a lot of patrols at the moment. And I really didn't fancy mixing it with the sort of landmark guys, as lovely as most of them are. So we thought, well, the guys blocked the path, so we're just gonna. I know my rights. Trample through his garden. So in the unlikely event that the guy hears it, he probably knows who he is. I do apologise for walking through his garden. We were completely in the wrong. And the road, actually, I don't think it is a military road. It is one of those sort of concrete roads that you get on Salisbury Plain.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a military road.
Yeah.
I may be wrong there. It's certainly not the Southern Transit route.
No, it's not. I think it is an MOD road, but I think I've seen quite a lot of people park up there with doing dog walking and things like that.
Right.
But down at the bottom, I've noticed there is a sign saying no vehicles, so I'm not just one of those private roads maybe that you're probably okay to walk on, but
it's from up there that you look down onto, and we've mentioned it before, East Hill Farm.
Yes.
And the Guy family who farm that, and the Farm for the Madding Cows Instagram feed, and in fact we thought we could see them off in the distance out the Land Rover feeding the cows. But it's again, it's one of those places which, although it's very close to Warminster, very quiet. And we didn't see anybody else walking out there at all.
Yeah, it is quiet. As you know, I go up there most Sundays at the moment to do the sheep counting. And last week I parked up by Nut Camp and walked across from there, and it was very quiet. There was nobody up there. It was very peaceful.
The feed cut out for a moment, so I interrupted you, I think. As you saw from my photograph, and I know you've seen it, somebody fly-tipped a load of rubbish up by Nook Castle, which is just awful to see. I mean, a lot of it as well.
I've seen a few fly-tips up there lately. I think there's a problem with someone using it as a dumping place. But I saw the same fly-tip that you saw, and it looked like someone had obviously hired someone to take away their household rubbish. There was an old bath there and child car seat and things like that. And this person is obviously unlicensed. They've just gone up there and dumped it. Shocking, really. But just going back to rights of way, it's interesting. I had an email from one of our listeners called Richard Taylor, who said, first of all, he's enjoying the podcasts. So that's fantastic. Always good to get feedback. But he said that after we'd mentioned the Wiltshire Definitive map, he'd gone to have a look and found it was a great resource to play around with. But he also discovered that he found some paths local to him, which are shown as footpaths on the map, but are now blocked off and marked as private on the ground. But they're not listed on the closures page at all. So he was asking, do we have any experience of using the online reporting system on there? Now, I personally haven't. I don't know if you have, but it's there, and I'd encourage people to use it if they find issues around rights of way.
Yeah, I've got another app on my phone, which I got a feeling it might be Ramblers Association app, and I use this app to report a blocked path. It wasn't deliberately blocked. It'd been left to become overgrown. It was over near West Lavington Way, it was between West Lavington and Earlstoke, along there. And I reported it on this, as I say, I think it was a Ramblers Association app. It wasn't a wheelchair one. And, it was easy enough to do, but I got no feedback. I don't know what happened to it. But I think a better way in Wiltshire is to report it to Wiltshire Council. There is there's an online reporting thing on the Wiltshire Council website.
Yeah.
And you can report them there.
Yeah, and I think it's important to do that because the council can't possibly monitor every single right of way, so they do depend on people out there using them. If you find they're blocked off and the definitive map is being violated because someone's closed off a right of way or made it inaccessible, then do report it, because the council does have a responsibility to make sure that these rights of way are kept open.
Mm-hmm. And to get a footpath diverted is there's quite a process to go through, quite a long-winded process.
There
you have
is.
To advertise the fact that you want to do this, you want to divert it or block it completely, and there's a consultation period, and it's not an easy thing to do. So I mean that's been the last few weeks, that's two now that we've discussed on here.
And there isn't
where people have been successful in doing that,
and just as a teaser trailer, there'll be another one I'm going to discuss next week when we talk about walk around Ranscombe Bottom and Morgan's Hill, because I discovered another one up there, so that'll be three. and they're all related, actually. The ones that we found, these three, are all related to rights of way going through people's gardens and trying to get them diverted. But anyway,
you trying to wind me up or what?
Me? Never.
Yeah.
So another thing I actually had this week, I had a letter, a handwritten letter actually, from a Wiltshire artist who I do follow on social media, and I bought a couple of his prints, David Alderslade. Some of you who listen may know his work, because he's based in Wiltshire and does a lot of paintings of iconic Wiltshire views. He's got very colourful, modern style of painting, which is very interesting, and he's worth a look, David Alderslade. But David contacted me and said that he was really interested in the podcast, but he just wondered whether I'd found a particular wood that he referenced. And I looked it up on the map, and I realised I had not come across this wood before, but he recommended it as a very sort of dramatic wood with, very steep hillsides and tree roots coming out of the ground, and it looked very eerie and was supposedly haunted. But I'm not going to spoil a surprise of saying where it is, but I'm going to go and have a look at that and report back in future. So just if David's listening, thanks for that, David. Thanks for the tip. And if any of you listen and find things that you would like to share with us and think, we'd be interested in going to have a look and are relatively hidden, do actually let us know, because we're always on the lookout for new places to visit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's part of the purpose of the Hidden Wiltshire closed Facebook group, where, if you want to join that group, you have to answer a number of questions and be prepared to contribute to, this sort of project of discovering some of the hidden places. We do get a lot of people sort of apply to join and then don't answer any questions. And unfortunately, you won't be admitted if you don't answer any of the questions. If you want to sort of contribute to the project, then please join that. The other point I was going to make also was just a reminder to people to have a look at the website when we release these podcasts, because there are sort of detailed show notes and we put links into all sorts of stuff in there. So I will link to David's website with his paintings.
Yes, definitely. And just to clarify on the Facebook side of things, we have a closed Facebook group, and we prefer people to come into that who want to contribute. So that's why it's closed. But if you just want to consume and look and see the things that we do and still see the pictures and the articles and the podcasts, we have a Facebook page. And if you like that and click a like, you'll just see that come into your Facebook feed and you can just see the stuff that comes out. So that's why we have the two different spaces for Hidden Wheelchair on Facebook, really.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So,
I was going to tell you the other things that I've done this last couple of weeks really sort of take us into the next part of the podcast. Where I did a bit of homework the other day and sort of revisited the walk that we're going to talk about now.
So the Pusey Downs is where we're going this week. Now,
can I stop you there?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop you right there because I don't think it's called the Pusey Downs.
Go on.
I think it's Pusey Vale and the downs above Pusey Vale are the Marlborough Downs.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we're going today.
So am I? I mean, that's what I say in general, and I know a lot of other people refer to them as the Pusey Downs. So I guess now I'm doubting myself because I'm not a local, you see. I just say these things and maybe I'm offending all these Wiltshire folk that have been around for years. I don't know. But be interested. Well, if anyone's got a view on this, let us know.
Bear in mind, we've got a couple of farmers who sort of farm up there. I'd love to know what they call it. But I've always called it Pusey Downs as well. But when I was doing some research yesterday, I kept seeing reference to the Marlborough Downs. And in fact, I'd been sort of referring to it. Well, I've been contradicting myself. I've been calling it the Pusey Downs and the Marlborough Downs. But I think geographically it's called the Marlborough Downs because of the sort of the geology of the terrain.
And it is the Vale of Pusey or the Pusey Vale?
It is.
Vale?
One of those, yeah.
So it's the Vale of Pusey and the I guess we just call them the Pusey Downs, but yeah, there's a moot point about whether we should be calling them the Marlborough Downs, I suppose, but... but yes, the thing about these downs, though, is that it's quite a wide expanse of land, and we couldn't possibly cover them all in one podcast, so we're going to split these over the next few weeks and months, I think. But do you want to just say the area we're going to talk about today?
So today we're going to do we're going to follow a walk that I did in a blog that I put up on Hidden Wiltshire in February 2019, 19th of February 2019 to be exact. And I can't remember, I think we just called it sort of Milk Hill, Tan Hill, and Bribery Camp or you know, whatever I called it. But that's the area. So it's sort of to the left, to the west of the road that goes from Orton Barnes over towards Marlborough. Whereas, you know, there are other blogs about the area to the east. So today we're sort of starting going up to Milk Hill, across to Tan Hill, then on to Clifford's Hill, and then down to, we drop down to All Canning's and then walk back along the canal, having parked at Stanton St Bernard. Parking is in Stanton St Bernard isn't too bad. The lanes through there are quite narrow, but there are a couple of places where it's a bit wider. But there are, you know, two or three places where you can park a car or two. So, you know, as long as you keep the road clear, you're not blocking, you know, other traffic, you know, the local people and tractors and stuff. You know, there are places where you can stop quite safely and tuck your car out of the way. But So having parts there, one of the things I did yesterday when I was sort of just checking some of my facts was, I was again a bit like we did with the area around Eddington and Bratton. I was looking at the geology of the area, and it's remarkably similar. And well, it's not remarkable at all, because it's the same, almost the same sort of stretch of hills. But again, you've got, you know, this is chalk downland, which where you've got sort of, it's overlaid in places with clay and flints, which is quite common in our area. And you've got sort of upper greensand outcrops, again, just like the area around Eddington and Bratton. And then the sort of layer of alluvium down in the valleys. So, you know, it's that's pretty similar to what we see around that part of Wiltshire. It's an area which has been farmed for over 5,000 years now. So this is long established area of settlement. It's remarkable, really, the number of similarities between this area and Eddington Bratton, and also over to the Deverells, where we were before, similar sort of period. So once we parked up at Stanton, we sort of crossed the road, and depending on where you are, I mean, you can see, if you look at the blog online, again, you'll see a map, Ordnance Survey map with the route marked out. So I'm not going to go through sort of turn by turn, but we followed a track which headed towards the hills there, towards sort of Milk Hill, which was slightly off to our right, and then Tan Hill, sort of slightly off to our left, and we sort of headed out towards the hill. And I'm a bit, again, it would be good to hear from whoever, you know, some of our farmer listeners up there, as to the rights of way, because the track we walked along isn't actually the right of way. But I have seen quite a few people, mainly dog walkers, who sort of get out of their cars, they walk up this track about a couple of hundred meters, you know, the dog does what it needs to do, they turn around and they go back again. But the actual right of way, there's a big barn opposite sort of bus shelter. And the bus shelter being on the road between Alton Barnes and Devizes. And there's a big barn there, and the right of way actually goes, as you're sort of heading north, goes to the left of the barn, to the west of the barn. But on the ground, you can't see it. I couldn't see any signs. I couldn't see any track. So I've always gone to the right of this barn and just followed this track up a few hundred metres, where you go sort of a sharp right.
It's funny you should say that, because when I did this walk at the back end of last summer myself, around September time, and I remember walking past that barn and looking for the track on the left that was going to go across the field, and all that was there was a wall of sunflowers.
Yes.
I mean, there was no way to get across the
field.
There
was no path, no.
There was no path. So I carried on just up the track, which wasn't marked as a right of way, but it just seemed to be a natural way to walk.
Yeah. And when you take that sort of dogleg right, you know, it's a right angle sort of turn, and you head across, and it does actually meet with another right of way, which comes up from the aforesaid road.
Yeah.
And you know, you sort of meet up with the path there, and which does take you up into the hills. So you're on this track, which doesn't appear to be a right of way for, I don't know, quarter of a mile or something like that.
So
I'm kind of hoping that's not sort of causing anybody a problem. You don't walk across any cultivated land, whereas if you stuck to the right of way, you would. You'd be walking across a cultivated field. But the thing, and I remember you doing that walk, and I think you put up a photograph, but off to your left as you first set out, and you've got your big barn, you walk past the barn, and off to your left across the other side of the field, this is another huge barn with a great big sign saying "Eat more chips" on it.
When I was there, it had all these sunflowers underneath it, and I was thinking, yeah, just cook them in sunflower oil.
Well, I'm assuming that's the point. It's fantastic. It's looking a bit dog-eared now, the sign, but It always
eat
makes
more
me giggle,
chips.
Doesn't it? So having picked up the right of way and being sort of legal again, you sort of head up to a gate which takes you into a Natural England reserve. And it's, I'm just sort of checking on my map now, I'm pretty certain this area is, it's the Pews. Oh, there you go. I'm going to contradict myself. Natural England actually call it the Pewsey Downs National Nature Reserve. So Natural England are calling it Pewsey Downs.
So I was right then.
Well, possibly. But it's geographically, I think it's called the Marlborough Downs.
Well, it says Pewsey Downs on the map, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's it then. Job done. you sort of go through this gate and you enter into being a nature reserve. It's open access. So there is a right of way that followed the contours. So going through the gate, I then stayed along the fence line at the bottom, you know, sort of tracked it left. And you sort of go around a sort of little, it's not quite a semicircle. It goes sort of around a curve, whereas you could just go straight up if you wanted and just head straight up to Milk Hill. But blimmin' heck, it's steep. If you go straight up there, that's a real lung buster. So we sort of tracked round to our left, followed the fence line until you get to the sort of, you know, where another fence comes up and it's in front of you. And that's when we sort of struck right and headed up to Milk Hill, but it's not quite as steep going up that way than if you just go straight up over the hill. And there were sort of hoof prints from horses, so if a horse can get up it, then you can walking. So we were sort of heading towards Milk Hill, but that's we really skirted Milk Hill. So we didn't go over to the White Horse, which everybody knows Milk Hill for, which was sort of further to our east, and we sort of stayed away from that area. And there were a few people up there the other day when we had a look. So the first time I did it back in 2019, it was pretty quiet, if I remember. But the day before yesterday, when I went back with Stu to have a sort of a refresher, there was a fair few people walking up there. So we sort of kept off the summit of Milk Hill, if you like.
The thing about the Milk Hill, I mean, Milk Hill is the highest point in Wiltshire, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the actual height is. Do you know? Is it?
Yes,
1,000
it
feet
is.
Or something?
It not far off. It's 295 meters, which is according to my notes, 968 feet.
And it's not like some of the, there are some other hills in Wiltshire which are lower than that, but actually more dramatic and mountain-like. And so it's quite a flat plateau at the top. And I remember once trying to find the summit and realised it was in the middle of a load of crops. And there's no trig point or anything up there. So it's...
What, Milk Hill?
Yeah.
Is it? There's crops up there.
Yeah. The actual summit is right in the middle of the field on the top.
Oh, I know the field. Yes,
yeah.
I do know.
So the field is actually just off the open access bits. You can't. So the summit is, you know, off beaten track. But actually, when you get to the summit, you probably wouldn't notice it because it's very flat.
There was a term that they use that it's less prominent than other hills. And prominence actually is a defined term. I can't remember what it means, but it's where the summit is so many feet or so many meters higher than the area around it, so that it is, you know, prominent to the eye.
Yeah.
Because when you sort of get up there, and we kind of then headed towards Wansdyke, and ultimately you're aiming for Tan Hill, and Tan Hill is only, I think, is it 26 centimeters lower than Milk Hill. So Milk Hill's the highest point in Wiltshire, Tan Hill is the second. And in fact, I think it's also the second highest chalk downland in the UK.
Yeah.
So the highest being Walbury Hill in Berkshire.
Yeah.
Which is a fraction higher. But that whole sort of summit ridge is just sort of one big area of sort of open access land, and you, apart from the fantastic views, you don't get the sense of you're climbing a big hill. You're kind of up there, and you stay up there. You're staying at a level along a ridge.
You're up high for a while, and that's the thing as well. Is even though I say it's not as dramatic as maybe some other standalone hills, but when you're up there, the views are absolutely stunning. I mean, you could spend a day up there with the camera and never get bored. I mean, it's just so many different angles, viewpoints. And the funny thing is, you talked about people, a lot of people up there. When I was up there, there were more people in the air than there were on the ground.
Yeah.
And you had hang gliders screaming and shouting at paragliders were getting in each other's way. It was really weird.
Yeah.
And swearing at each other in the sky. It was bizarre.
I went up there another time, and I basically went up there to have a look at there was a crop circle between Stanton, St Bernard and Milk Hill, and the in the sort of the valley below. So I thought I'll go up there and get a photograph of the crop circle. And it's actually, I couldn't really get a decent vantage point. You need a drone to get a decent shot there. So anyway, I was sitting on the side of the hill, and it was quite a nice, warm, sunny day. And I was sort of, you know, dozing off, I think. And I sort of heard voices, but I can't see anybody. And I realised the voices were above me. And they were hang gliders. And I'd seen these guys. They were sort of sitting around in the... there's a load of hawthorn up there. So it strikes me as a bit of a dodgy place to go hang gliding, because, you know, if you don't judge your landing right, that could be pretty painful. And they'd been sitting around. It was quite windy. And then whilst I was sort of just dozing on the top of the hill, obviously there was a lull in the wind, and they all took to the air. And these guys were right above me. And I luckily had my... sort of big Nikon camera with me with a long lens on it, and I must have taken 100 photographs of these guys, and I sold some prints to the club, because I sort of contacted them and said, oh, you know, I was there taking your photographs, and they said, oh yeah, we saw you down there, and you know, have you got any decent prints? So I sold a few. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there was that day there were more people in the air than there were on the ground.
Yeah, it gets quite busy up there with the paragliders and the hang gliders. It's one of the top places in Wiltshire to go flying.
That's right, yeah.
My next-door neighbour, he goes paragliding, usually over at the Westbury White Horse, but also over at Milk Hill.
Well, they do... there's a course, isn't there, where they take off from... and I can't remember the name of the hill. It's over towards sort of south of Hungerford. And I can picture it and... see the hill in my head, but they take off from there and they do a route along the sort of the escarpments, and they take in the white horses. So via Milk Hill, they then sort of carry on over towards Westbury. So that's quite a long journey.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wednesday when Stu and I walked up there, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, it wasn't busy, but you know, we did see other people up there.
Yeah.
And just. Bearing in mind the weather wasn't great, it was certainly not at that point. It was a surprising number of people up there.
I know it's a place I go up there probably a couple of times a year in the evening in the summer to watch the sunset. Because if you park in the sort of Pusey Downs car park, you can sort of go up Walker's Hill, do a circuit, go up Walker's Hill, past the White Horse, around Milt Hill, back along the Wansdyke, drop down going towards Knapp Hill. That's a really nice circuit.
Yeah.
Only a short one.
Yeah, we so the other day in 2019 from Milk Hill, as I said earlier, we sort of headed over towards the Wansdyke, and this section of the Wansdyke is probably one of the it is the best preserved of the whole Wansdyke, you know, the whole length of the Wansdyke. I mean, the Wansdyke is like 35 miles in total, and our bit through Wiltshire is what's called East Wansdyke. Which is, I think it's 7 or 9 miles, something like that in length. But the Wansdyke there, and it's hardly hidden. I mean, I think most people know about the Wansdyke, but it's the ditches are still really, really deep there. I mean, I read somewhere it was 8 feet deep, but I think it's a lot deeper than that. Especially if you take into account the earthworks above it. So from the bottom of the ditch to the top of the earthworks it's got to be a good 20 feet.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think when I did it in 2019, there was still sort of deep snow in Wansdyke, and it was quite a sort of warm, sunny day when I went up there for February, and I was astonished really at how much snow there was still in the Wansdyke, because it's sort of deep in shadow down there.
But yeah, it's a bit of a mystery as well, the Wansdyke, isn't it? Because yeah, no one's really sure of the provenance.
No, exactly. I was about to say that. I mean, it's sort of like three theories, isn't there? Sort of, you know, what it was for. I mean, the three theories being that it was sort of built by the native Britons as a defensive measure against the Anglo-Saxons, and sort of at some time after the Romans had sort of abandoned Britain. So that's sort of like theory number one, and then theory number two that the Romans built it in the late 4th century AD, and they built it as a defensive measure against the Britons. And then the third theory is that it was built by the West Saxons to prevent Britain's retaking lands that the West Saxons had conquered. I should add that the theory one was built as a defensive measure by native Britons. It was actually against the Anglo-Saxons, who were sort of spreading from the north and the east of the country, and the Britons obviously more down to the sort of west and southwest. I don't know if there's a favoured theory or whether people don't know and will never know.
It's been hard to find out, because one thing I've discovered is there doesn't seem to be any definitive book out there on the Wansdyke or academic study. And I have asked an archaeologist this, and he wasn't able to point me in the direction of any publication. So if there are any academic archaeologists out there that have anything that we could take a look at to try and explore the Wansdyke a bit more in terms of its history and provenance, that would be great. But it's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah. So we sort of followed along the Wansdyke for a little way, and it's always a fabulous place to see birds of prey. There's always red kites up there. On Wednesday this week, we saw beautiful kestrel, male kestrel, in really sort of vibrant colours. Sort of really, you know, see the, but it was sort of hovering below us, so you could see the, you know, its back and the tops of its wings. It's beautiful, sort of copper bronze colour. I guess you'd describe it. And you know, buzzards, you know, it's just an astonishing place to watch them. And of course, this time of year, the skylarks are up there in force, and that was all we could hear, was the sort of the wind and the skylarks. And that's what's great about these places: no traffic noise. And you can probably hear some traffic noise in the background to my recording today, although I live in a little village on a village street. It's a bit of a rat run, so I can certainly hear it, so I don't know if you can, but
The odd rumble is not your stomach.
Yeah, it's not. It's the traffic cutting through to the A303, which must be blocked.
But the other good thing, just before we go on the Wansdyke, is when you're up there, is you have sweeping views down across towards Avebury, and you can, if you've got eagle eyes about you, you can see the West Kennet Long Barrow, East Kennet Long Barrow, Silbury Hill.
Yeah.
And actually, when you're at West Kennet Long Barrow, if you're coming out of the Long Barrow itself and look to your right, and you look up onto the ridge above, you'll actually see the line of the Wansdyke going across. So it's good to kind of have these markers in the landscape to get your bearings wherever you are.
Yeah. And speaking of the views up there, I said in my blog in 2019, apparently on a clear day, to the sort of north and west, you can even see the Brecon Beacons, and to the south, you know, the Isle of Wight. I've never been able to see that far, but maybe with a sort of pair of binoculars, you might just be able to make out the sort of the shape of certainly some hills over in Wales. Mm. But even Wednesday, when I last went up there, the weather was pretty changeable, but at times it sort of brightened up, and you know, the view, especially to the south, I mean, sort of way down towards Salisbury. So from Tan Hills, a funny sort of place. It's again, there's no perceptible summit. I mean, there is a summit clearly, you know, the bit that is 294 metres as opposed to 295, which Milk Hill is. But it just looks like a big sort of rounded hump, doesn't it? When you're up there, you do descend slightly from Milk Hill. In fact, you cross a track which comes up from the road up to the parking area for the Thames Valley Hang Gliding Club, I think they're called. They've got a little car park up there, so you cross over that, and then you sort of ascend, and you've got all sorts of options as to where you can walk, because much of it is open access. And you can either follow on the ramparts or the earthworks of Wands Dyke, or you can sort of head slightly off to your left. But it's just quite a sort of big, not flat's not the right word, because it steadily sort of inclines, but it's fairly featureless, but not in a bad way, because you've just got, you know, you've got nothing to distract you from those views. And across off to the west, you can see Cheryl Monument, and then you can see Furze Knoll, Morgan's Hill, you can see Oliver's Camp, you know, all very clearly, and none of them look very far away. So as you're sort of walking up across this field, your eye is just sort of drawn to those distant views. So having sort of got up to Tan Hill, we then sort of turned and headed south. And basically what you're doing is you're making for Clifford's Hill, which you can see very clearly. And Clifford's Hill is sort of described as a ridge, and on the ridge of Clifford's Hill you have Ryebury Camp, which, when you're looking at it, they look like two separate summits. Ryebury Camp isn't a hill in its own right. It's a camp on Clifford's Hill, on the flanks of Clifford's Hill. So that's kind of where we headed, and I remember we sort of dropped down quite steeply and getting to a sort of saddle before heading back up. And your sort of first sort of reference point is Ryebury, I think. Have I got this the right way around? And which you very clearly see from above. So at Tan Hill, you're looking down onto Ryebury Camp, aren't you?
You get a really good view of the circular rampart on the top of the hill as you descend from Tan Hill.
Yeah.
It's very distinctive.
And it's, and you know, you probably guess looking at it. I mean, it's a Neolithic causewayed enclosure, and then it's been sort of overlain by the earthworks of what is a later late Bronze Age, early Iron Age hill fort, or Univallet hill fort. And I mean, that's when Stu and I were up there on Wednesday. We were looking at once we got up to Ryebury Camp, we were looking at the sort of landscape in front of us, and it really is quite chaotic. And you think, well, how on earth do archaeologists make sense of what's here? So you've got, you know, this Neolithic enclosure, on top of which a hill fort or some sort of settlement has been built. But even then, you've got this sort of it looks like somebody's bombed it. It's like it's been cratered. And I said to Stu at the time, I said, it looks like somebody's been quarrying up here. And sure enough, when I sort of was researching it yesterday, there was post-medieval chalk extraction out there. So again, you know, you've got the Neolithic, Late Bronze Age, Early Iron Age, and then medieval sort of activity up there, all in this same relatively small area. And it does look quite chaotic up there. So, you know, hats off to archaeologists, how they make sense of these places and sort of figure out what's been going on there.
When I was up on Ryebury Camp last year, I found a Sarsen stone up there that had names engraved on it.
Yeah, I took a photograph of that the other day, and I couldn't quite make out what was written on it. There's a name on one side, and then you go around the other side, and there's another name, isn't there?
Yeah, it is. And what it is, I think it's the second, I think they're into the third generation of the Dorr family that farm around there. And I think that was the second, that was to commemorate the current, I'd need to get Hannah and Robbie to tell me, I'll get this wrong, but I think it was the current farmer, Robbie, it's his grandfather and grandmother's names are inscribed on there. So they used to farm the land.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic vantage point across the whole farm and the valley.
Yeah, yeah. So yesterday, I again, doing my research, and I sort of discovered something which I mean, I lost count the number of times I've been up there and hadn't noticed this or hadn't realised that it was there. So as we headed from the hill fort from Ryberry Camp, and we sort of went up to the summit of Clifford's Hill, and then there you sort of want to descend down to the road and towards All Cannings. And as you sort of come down the path, you're sort of aware of more sort of earthworks. I mean, the earthworks everywhere up here. I mean, it's just, you look at the map. I mean, and most of them, there's no sort of, certainly online, I couldn't find any history for each and every one of them, but there's an awful lot of history up there. But you come down and almost sort of towards the bottom. And as I say, it was only yesterday when I was looking at it. So there's something called, there's a very, very important historical site called All Cannings Cross. And basically, as you're descending from Clifford's Hill, you're heading towards Cannings Cross Farm. And between Clifford's Hill and the farm, there is this site called All Cannings Cross, which is really significant because it was, they think it was, certainly archaeologically speaking, it marks a sort of the site of the transition from Bronze Age Britain into Iron Age. So it's one of the earliest sites where they've been able to sort of determine that this was, there was a change going on here. This was sort of, it was occupied, it was some sort of form of occupation here between 800 and 500 BC. And they've sort of determined that it was a significant transition because of quite unique pottery that's been found there. And it marks a sort of change in the style of pottery. And in fact, there's a piece in the British Museum, which I hadn't realised, which they found at this site. And you've got this sort of settlement, and they don't know whether it was permanently occupied or just temporary, whether it was sort of ceremonial. But there's certainly a midden pit, which is basically a rubbish pit, where they threw sort of animal bones and broken pottery, and you know, that was quite a sort of a rich seam of archaeology when they were excavating this. And I think the first archaeologist to investigate it, and I can't remember the dates now, but it was a lady called Maud Cunnington, who presumably is a descendant of the Cunnington that we quite often mentioned, who sort of was working his way across Wiltshire with Sir Richard Colt Hoare, probably 100 years before Maud. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Maud was a granddaughter or something, but I'm sure we can look that up. But she first excavated it in the 19th century, and then it was, the early 20th century, and then it was excavated again in around 2003, 2004, when they found, they made this sort of realisation of this transition from Bronze Age to Iron Age was going on in this area. And I'm not saying it's the first place where it happens, but it's the first place, archaeologically speaking, where they've sort of recognised this transition period. But, I can't believe that I'd missed that number of times I've walked past it. And you can't see anything in the landscape, but you certainly pass right by the site of All Cannings Cross.
Yeah, fascinating. And I guess there you're not too far away from another long barrow.
Exactly, yeah. Something else I managed to miss in previous visits.
it's a recurring theme here, Paul.
I should look up once in a while.
But yeah, there is another long barrow around there, which is a little bit more modern.
So as you get to Cannings Cross Farm, you head southwest towards the village of All Cannings, and there's a footpath that cuts across a field, and it's just a sort of long straight footpath. And I can't believe I missed it before. We were walking along, and I, in fact, you know, on Wednesday when Stu and I were sort of walking along, I sort of looked to my right and I said, Tommy, what's that over there? And he looked as though, I have no idea. I said, it's a long barrow. And I said, oh, God, I know what that is. That's that modern long barrow. And it was built in 2014, wasn't it, by a local farmer.
Yes.
And it's a place of interment, just as the original long barrows were, for, well, there's 340 niches where you can, you know, well, you could have your ashes put there if it wasn't full up. But it yeah. looks, to all intents and purposes, it looks exactly like sort of West Kennet long barrow or any other long barrow.
Yeah, it's very authentic. But yeah. I know that in normal times, he opens it up three or four times a year around the solstice and the equinox. And I think can contact him directly for a private view. I think there's a charge. But obviously at the moment, given the COVID situation, it's not open, but I think that's one thing we can look forward to. Maybe we should go and do a field trip there, Paul. And
there's not a lot of room, because I did go up to it and I shined my torch in there, and it's quite a narrow corridor and all these niches off to the left and right. And
exactly. So I think the chances of social distancing in there are slim.
Forget it. Yeah. But what a place to spend the rest of eternity. I mean, it's just stunning. Yeah. And I think they built it so that it's the entrance, if you were inside and looking out, it's angled so that the rising sun of the summer solstice is plumb in the middle of the entranceway.
Yeah.
So the light in there must be incredible.
I know. I follow the farmer on Twitter, Tim, and he puts up some photos around the solstice each year. And it's just really, it's just fantastic what he's done. It just captures Wiltshire perfectly, I think.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and it'd be nice if more people could do it. In fact, you think about it and think how much space a graveyard takes up compared to that barrow. It's a much more efficient use of space, I think.
Oh, it is, yeah. I think we should definitely go back to long barrows.
Yeah. And it's right by the canal as well, which so that's where we sort of ended up, was not in the canal but by the canal. So we sort of walked back from All Canning's and sort of struck out towards Stanton St Bernard where the cars were parked. And the canal is, I mean, it's always nice to walk along there, and I just love looking at the different boats, and some of them got such character, and some of the people who live on these boats, I'd love to, if I was more confident, go and sort of ask if I can take photographs. But I posted on the Facebook group on Wednesday a picture of somebody built a little, I said it was a willow arch, but whether it's willow or hazel, I think willow is more sort of bendy, so it's probably a willow arch. And for no apparent reason, they just made this little arch on the towpath. And there was a fantastic boat, and I think it was called Canal Gypsy or something like that, and it looked a bit like a sort of traveller's caravan, and all this incredible stuff piled up on it. I would have taken a photograph, but the boat owners were actually in there, and I didn't want to intrude, but it's fantastic. So we followed the canal for, I don't know, maybe a mile or so. It wasn't very long, and it does get incredibly muddy though at times. Fortunately, this week when we did it, it was pretty dry. But I know in February 2019 when I wrote the blog, it was really muddy then. But so we headed to Stanton St Bernard, and there's a couple of, basically you get off the canal towpath at one of the bridges over the canal, and there's two there. So just take your pick, depending on where you've parked your car. But we came off at the second bridge as you go east on Wednesday, which I hadn't been on this little road before, and it sort of tipped us out onto this lane, and there was a lovely little terrace of cottages. I think they were called canal cottages, funnily enough, and it was on a lane that headed sort of due south. And this is at Stanton Bridge, and I don't ever remember seeing this lane before or where it went. So I looked up on the map, and it actually finishes at Stanton Dairy. And before you get to Stanton Dairy, there's a farm called Mill Farm, which I think is the site of what used to be Stanton Mill, which was a water mill. And it's on this. I mean, look at the map. There's barely any evidence of a waterway there, but it must have been a. There's a little stream, but I don't think that's used as a water mill anymore. But there's two or three around this area. But the thing that caught my eye, and it's for another visit, was down to the sort of southeast of Stanton Bridge. I saw something on the map called Hanging Stone, and I was sort of googling this, and I was googling Stanton St Bernard Hanging Stone. Absolutely nothing came up, and then I thought, I know, I'll try Honey Street, because Honey Street is on the road up through Orton Barnes, and this is sort of more or less due south of Honey Street. And sure enough, there was sort of something about the Honey Street Hanging Stone, and it's, and we didn't go and see it, and I will go back and have a look at this, because it's right on there's some rights of way there, so you can go and look at it. But it's sort of in a field, and it's a sarsen stone, and it's right on the boundary of two parishes. So I'm assuming, would that be the parish of Orton Barnes and Stanton St Bernard? I don't know. But so there was a sarsen stone there, and there was a gibbet. There used to be a gibbet there, and it's thought that they would sort of hold a trial at this stone, and if you were guilty of some heinous crime, you would immediately be strung up on the gibbet. And that's why it's called Hanging Stone. And of course, there are various gibbets dotted around Wiltshire and elsewhere in the country. In fact, there's one outside our village here, just up the road. So that's something I'm going to go back and have a look at. It's not on a road or anything, but it's on a right of way. That was certainly something hidden that I knew nothing about, and there's very little about on the internet.
Yeah, that's a good thing about doing these things, is you can kind of spread your eyes out around the map and find these little things and think, what's that then?
But yeah, from there, sort of wended our way back towards the car. I mean, Stanton St Bernard, I'm looking at the map now, there are footpaths everywhere through Stanton St Bernard. It's just a real maze of little footpaths and bridleways, as well as the little lane that goes sort of in and out of Stanton. And back to the car. But it's I think the whole walk is about seven and a half miles, something like that. If it wasn't for the climb at the beginning up to Milk Hill, I would say it's a pretty easy walk, but that climb is really quite demanding. I mean, on Wednesday I was really puffed out going up there.
And there is a way to shorten it, because that's what I did when I did it last summer. I shortened it. I cut out the canal. I came down from Clifford's Hill and found a route back down to Stanton St Bernard that way. So you can cut a couple of miles off if you want to. So that's the great thing about some of these walks, is you can customise them. Okay, so that sounds like a really interesting walk. And I know that I can vouch for it in terms of the scenery and the views and everything. It's really worth doing. Any time of year, really, all times of year, it's always nice. That brings us to the end of another Hidden Wiltshire podcast, sadly. But fear not, in 2 weeks' time we will be back, and we will be talking about a fantastic walk around Ranscombe Bottom and Morgan's Hill. So look forward to that.
Yep, another area of great views and a lot of history. So looking forward to that one. Just before we go, a couple of sort of usual wrapping up housekeeping issues. So just a reminder about, go to the website, have a look at the show notes, and we'll provide links to sort of bits and pieces on there and a bit more information. A reminder about the discount from Lowther Boots, lowther.co.uk, and if you want a pair of very splendid walking boots or shoes on there, put in the discount code HW for Hidden Wiltshire 20, HW20 for a 20% discount. Just the usual hat tip to Steve Dixon for his music in this episode. So the piece we use in the middle, we're back to using Downland, which always seems appropriate for these walks in the hills around Hidden Wiltshire.
Great. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye for now.
Bye for now.